Hello and welcome to the Ryersonian Podcast for the week of September 23rd. I'm Samantha Fernandez.
And I'm Amanda Klein. We're bringing you Ryerson's freshest news and the top stories of the week from across Canadian university campuses.
In this week's episode, Trudeau comes to Ryerson campus, an NHL hockey player is in our midst, and a bus crash claims the life of two Carleton University students.
We'll also be speaking with the Ryersonian's Emma Jarrett about the controversy surrounding the Sam the Record Man sign. She's been covering the story and will be filling us in on the latest developments. It wasn't quite the Trudeau mania of old, but Justin Trudeau drew quite a crowd on campus last week. The Liberal leader stopped by Ryerson to make his pitch to students.
Getting young people to vote is not just about getting a few more X's on a paper somewhere. It's about changing the mindset, changing the way we search for solutions, changing the way we approach the big challenges we're facing.
And students were excited to hear Trudeau speak and to learn more about what he stands for.
He's really energetic. He's interested in talking to everybody, whether it's young people, whether it's old people, whether it's middle-aged people.
I don't really know much about him. That's why I'm here. I don't know much about liberals either. I'm not into politics that much, but I hope to be after my undergraduate staying studies here.
Trudeau's next scheduled visit with young Canadians will be in Vancouver Center on Thursday.
Ryerson's men's hockey team has an NHLer in their midst. Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Cody Franson is joining the Rams practice. The Leafs haven't come to terms with his contract yet, so Franson is practicing with the team to keep fresh. Men's hockey coach Graham Wise says Franson's presence is welcomed.
The skill level he presents, you know, pushes our guys out a little bit when you're playing against them one-on-one or you're going on a two-on-one against them or battling in the corner with them and in various drills that we do. So, you know, guys are having to be a little bit more prepared when they're going to defend against them, right?
Franson says he's grateful to the hockey team for letting him practice with them. And, as a Leafs fan, he was excited to play in the renovated Maple Leaf Gardens.
This is something I always wanted to see. So, it's kind of been a privilege almost being able to come out here and skate out here.
Franson says he was surprised how long it took for the media to discover where he was training. He'll be practicing with Ryerson until his contract is negotiated.
Two Carleton University students were among those killed when an Ottawa bus hit a Via Rail train Wednesday morning. The OC Transpo bus collided with the train shortly after 9 a.m. Six people were killed, including the bus driver. Carleton students Kyle Nash and Connor Boyd, both 21 years old, were killed in the crash. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Investigators have obtained the train's black box, and the bus has been moved to storage for further investigation.
It's common knowledge that everything gets more expensive over time, but costs for the average university student are increasing very quickly. Trends across 10 years of data show that bills associated with student life like tuition, rent, and residence have been increasing faster than the rate of inflation. The Canadian Alliance of Student Associations says 58% of Canadian university students graduate with debt, averaging $26,000 per borrower. In Canada last year, tuition fees rose in all provinces except for Newfoundland and Labrador, making it unlikely that university inflation will reverse.
It's time to grab the popcorn. Film students are taking center stage at the Ryerson Image Center's gallery that opened last week. 65 short experimental films are opening as part of the Moving Frames Shifting Boundaries exhibit. Instructor and guest curator Gerda Kamer thinks it's a great opportunity for the school and the students.
I think it's an excellent showcase of what we actually do in the School of Image Arts, particularly in the film program and the documentary media program, but also because it will shift their idea of what we teach.
Film student Lucas Ford made a film about his experience in Iceland. The trip was part of a 10-day workshop last summer.
It was a really exciting opportunity. So I basically made a short documentary that I guess kind of depicts the landscapes and my experiences in Iceland. And I wanted to translate that into a film.
The exhibit is open in the Ryerson Image Center Student Gallery until October 27th.
Universities are refraining from commenting on Quebec's controversial Charter of Values proposal. The proposal led to a protest for an inclusive society in Montreal's downtown core last week. The protest drew support from post-secondary teachers and students province-wide. Abby Goldberg, a sociology professor at Concordia University, is concerned that the law would discourage students who wear religious symbols to pursue employment in the public sector. If the charter passes, educational institutions could apply to opt out of the ban, but a ban on veils that cover the face would be permanent.
On Parliament Hill, hundreds of federal science employees, students, and supporters protested last week. A group called Evidence for Democracy held the rally to challenge the alleged muzzling of scientists by the Harper government. A union that represents roughly 20,000 Canadian scientists says new government policies have resulted in cuts to many scientific organizations and laboratories, including the Experimental Lakes. 18 universities across the country have become engaged with Evidence for Democracy to lobby the government for more scientific freedom.
Controversies surrounding unpaid internships continues. Laurentian University student Samantha Bachma has filed a complaint against a Barrie MPP's office. Bachma worked in Rod Jackson's office as a paid constituency assistant this past summer. But after Bachma's term ended, Jackson's office posted the same position as an unpaid internship. In Ontario, interns are protected by the Employee Standards Act. One stipulation is that the internship should not replace paid work by an employee. Jackson's office confirmed and defended the post, saying they are offering students a valuable experience. Bachma also started as an unpaid intern in the MPP's office in 2012.
Many Ryerson students are concerned for their safety since last year's sexual assaults on campus. So Ryerson hosted a free self-defense class last week. Fight Like a Girl is Ryerson's new self-defense class for women.
I really appreciate the fact that they're just telling you to work within your own strengths and within your own boundaries.
And Elliot Baev, who started the program, plans on expanding it.
These programs were going to be going to high schools, boys' schools, universities to talk to men and boys about their role in creating a safer, healthier world.
Fight Like a Girl hopes to reach more high schools and universities by the end of this year.
Memorial University of Newfoundland's Engineering Student Society's D-Day mugs have been condemned by the Dean of Engineering. The plastic mugs feature an image of a sexy female accompanied by the slogan, "Give her the D," followed by the word "day" in brackets. The cups were distributed at the Society's annual D-Day party earlier this month, a day-long event known for its binge drinking. MUN's Dean of Engineering, Greg Natterer, is disappointed with students calling the mugs disturbing and unacceptable.
And now we're joined by the Ryersonian's Emma Jarrett. How are you doing this morning, Emma?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you both doing?
Good, thanks.
Great, thanks. So what is the SAM sign all about? Can you just tell us a bit about it?
Sure. So in 2008, Ryerson got the rights to buy the SAM the Recordman property. And when they got those rights, they made an agreement with the city saying that in order to protect the heritage of the site, they would get the sign and they would rehang it somewhere around the Ryerson campus, or they would try to hang it on the new building they were putting on the former SAM site property.
And for people who aren't from Toronto, what is the SAM sign?
So it's actually two separate signs. They're giant records, and they spin, and they're made out of neon, and they're just sort of iconic of the 60s and 70s rock era in Toronto. They're about two stories tall, 600 square feet. They were mounted on the front of this building on Yonge Street, and they were there for over 30 years until Ryerson took them down when they demolished the building. And they're sort of iconic for the music lovers, in the GTA especially, but definitely across Canada. And they sort of have a bit of a cult following. They've appeared in a couple movies, so they're real, like, heritage pieces.
And where's the sign now?
The sign's in storage. They dismantled it, and they have labeled all the pieces, and they actually created a blueprint of the sign so they know exactly how to reassemble it. But it's off-site in the GTA in a warehouse somewhere. And stored in crates, and they're just making sure that it stays as safe as it can until they're able to reassemble it. The only problem with that is the longer it stays in storage, the less likely it is the neon bulbs will be able to work, because neon dissipates over time, so they'll probably have to replace a fair bit of the sign once it comes to remounting it. But at least they have this blueprint so they know exactly how to do it.
So what was the initial agreement between Ryerson and the sign?
So the initial agreement was that Ryerson would use reasonable best efforts to find a spot on the new building to remount the sign. And failing that, they would remount the sign on the library. So what's been happening for a couple weeks now is Ryerson filed a request to the city to amend the contract, and they want to look for a place to hang the sign other than the library. For a couple of reasons. One, it's really expensive to hang it there. Two, the building is about 60 years old. It would need structural reinforcement on the wall to hold up the sign, which comes to about 20,000 tons, all things in. And so they're looking around, trying to see if they can find a better spot. And one of the ideas that's been floated is Dundas Square. And that way it would sort of be in, you know, good company with the Hard Rock Cafe. And Dundas Square is sort of the Times Square of Toronto, so it keeps in the flavor of, you know, big giant billboards.
Was there any renegotiation of the contract then?
Well, the council, the East York and East York Municipal Council met on September 10th, I believe, and they discussed this amendment to the contract, and Ryerson representatives were there, and they had all the architects for the building, and they all agreed that the sign can't go on the new building. And so the East York Council passed this motion. So now we have to wait for it to go to a full city council vote on October 8th. And if that passes, then the contract will be officially amended, and Ryerson will have 1 year to look around Toronto for a better location for the sign.
Because it seems as though some individuals have been a bit defensive about Ryerson not hanging the sign. Why do you think that is?
I would say President Levy's probably been the most defensive about it. His interpretation of the contract was that Ryerson was getting approval from the city to build this amazing glass structure, and that was what they should concentrate on. And then when it transpired that everyone else interpreted the contract as Ryerson was definitely going to hang the sign on the building and now they're not, he's saying, well, we didn't do anything wrong. And technically he's right. They didn't break the contract, and the city did approve the final design plans for the building knowing that the sign wasn't going to appear on it. So in his mind, it's unfair flack that the school is getting for this. And, you know, he said to myself and to other members of the Ryerson community repeatedly that, you know, they're trying their best to find a different place for it, and they just don't think the library is the perfect spot, so they're looking for alternatives. In my opinion, it's kind of cool that Ryerson has this piece of Toronto heritage on its hands now. And, you know, I think that, as it's been pointed out to me, we're a really creative school, and someone on campus should be able to come up with a really fantastic idea of where to put this sign. So why not sort of tap into that brain trust? And, you know, it could be kind of fun, like a competition with maybe a prize at the end. And you form this team of students and faculty that, you know, scour the GTA for the perfect SAM spot. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities here to sort of bridge the rift that's grown between Ryerson and the rest of Toronto, and use the students to do that.
Thanks for joining us, Emma.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that's it for this week's Ryersonian podcast. I'm Amanda Klein.
And I'm Samantha Fernandez. Tune in next week for more Ryerson and Canadian University news.
Remember, you can always follow us at www.ryersonian.ca.
Have a great week.